Hey everybody, Dave Hodges here, host of the Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America, one enslaved mind at a time. Thank you so much for joining us. Always, excuse me, we're having a little brief cutouts, ladies and gentlemen. I apologize. I think we've got that mastered. Anyway, we are here to serve you. We're here to inform you so we can act collectively against the powers that be that have committed the coup d'etat against our government and our culture. So that's we're here, and I think we've got the troubles behind us. We've got Sheriff Richard Mack with us. But first, I just want to let you know, ladies and gentlemen, I did a 10-part piece on YouTube about what's happening with the food supply. Do not let the grass grow under your feet. You need to get as much storable food as you possibly can. Go to My Patriot Supply at preparewithdave.com. There's great specials there. They have not raised their prices. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner, a whole variety. So I want you to go to preparewithdave.com. And also, too, if you have food, you better have water. We have a great water filtration system. You know the 9 attacks on the grids. They caught Bubba and Billy Joe, and clearly I think they're FBI agents if you were to ask me to make a bet, and I think they're probing for a false flag. I'm just guessing, but do you want to take the chance, or do you want to have access to water? Because grid goes down for very long, you don't get the water. You need the Alexa Pure Pro water filter. You can read about why it's number one at waterwithdave.com, and you'll see the substantial savings that are there. waterwithdave.com. So that's the food, preparewithdave.com, the water, waterwithdave.com. And last thing, we have a merchandise store. Check it out, davehodgesmerch.com. Wasn't my idea, but I kind of like it now. Dave 10 for 10% off. Well, we have Sheriff Richard Mack with us, and it looks like we've got our little bugaboos behind us, and we're going to have a terrific show. But I want to set the stage before we go to Sheriff Mack, and I introduce him. I had recently had an interview with Tom Rents that was terribly disrupted. We were able to salvage some of it. And we were hitting home run after home run, and we were naming names and kicking butt, and it's related to this topic. And I don't think there's anyone more qualified to talk about sheriffs, the border, and anybody else than Richard Mack. He had the best line I ever heard at a conference. He and I went up to Kingman together a few years ago, and he said, "Yeah, I'm Sheriff Richard Mack, and I'm one of the few people to take on the Clintons and live to tell about it." That was the most awesome line I think I ever heard, but it's true. He has a long success of training sheriffs in constitutional law to stand up to, let's say, unconstitutional communist forces. And we're also going to tell you how you can support his good work before we're finished. Sheriff Mack, welcome to the show. It's great to have you back.
Well, my friend Dave, thanks so much. I appreciate always being on with you, and it's a pleasure, quite honestly, to call you friend.
Yeah, I appreciate that too, and I feel the same way. Can I get you just to stay as close to the phone as possible? Because you're coming in, not faint, but a little less than me. And I don't like to over...
Okay,
yeah, there you go.
I definitely
much,
will.
That's
thanks.
Much better. I don't like to overtalk my guests. Well, anyway, you heard my intro. And I know that in your training that you do about constitutional law at the various conferences that you go to, you're telling sheriffs what they need to be doing and their responsibilities. Where are we at right now in southern states, California, southern area, Arizona, New Mexico, Texas? Where are we at with these sheriffs? Are they going to take a stand and protect America? Are some of them just going to bend the knee and just watch the worst happen?
Texas is doing very well, and the sheriffs along the border there are really frantic. They're really perplexed. They're not getting enough help from the state, and they're not getting any help from the federal government. The federal government obviously has made the life and jobs of the sheriffs, they've exacerbated the problem to the 10th power. And the sheriffs don't know where to go or what to do. The crime wave... Now listen, it's a nationwide problem, no question about it. When you have the left-wing socialist Democrat hack of Mayor Adams in New York complaining about the immigration problem, then what do you think it's doing along the border? So they've had a few busloads drop off in New York. they haven't even had 1,000. Let's say they've had 2,000. New York could absorb that easily. However, Adams is now he's going after Biden, his buddy, and he's saying it's an embarrassment. The problem at the border is an embarrassment, and it is. And Biden is an embarrassment, and his entire staff is there to make sure he doesn't embarrass himself too awfully much, and that's why they pull the plug on him and don't let him answer questions, and don't give him any time to just speak off the cuff, like Trump did all the time. And that's one place where Trump has made him look very unprofessional, very unprepared, that he's suffering from dementia and other problems because he can't do what Trump did routinely. And I'm not here to tout Trump. I'm just telling the truth between the two. The problem with the border is that we have some stupid sheriffs. And we have stupid sheriffs nationwide, but luckily there's not very many of them. But we have this lame brain sheriff in Nogales, Santa Cruz, Hathaway.
You just took the words out of my mouth. I was just going to say
Hathaway,
his name, yeah.
I thought he was a good guy, and boy, did I learn quickly that he's not. He's a politician. He campaigned for Katie Hobbs, along with the leftist Democrat in Pima County. I can't remember his name. I don't care. But those two guys are campaigning for Katie Hobbs, and both of them claim that the border is secure,
yes.
That there's not a problem at the border. Well, I'll tell you right now, the Pima County Sheriff and the Santa Cruz County Sheriff are liars. And Hathaway, when I first met him, we talked on the phone. He said he really admired the CSPOA, said he really admired the work I've done over the years, said he wanted to get closer with me and work closer with me. And I said, great. I said, what can we do to help you with the border problem? And he said, there isn't one. And I said, why do you say that? And he said, because it would cost me my election if I were to go after the border as a legitimate issue. And I said, you're really telling me that? He said, yes. He says, I cannot go after the border or I will lose my Democratic base. He's not really a Democrat, but he ran as a Democrat because his advisors told him, you want to just run as a Republican and do a little informational campaign? Because that's all it'll be. He confided all this in me. And I told him, I said, I'm not surprised. I said, I was a Democrat when I ran for sheriff in Graham County. I said, because it was 6-1 Democrat. But those Democrats were mostly, at least half of them, very conservative. I don't know why. My parents were very conservative, and they were registered as Democrats. Now it's completely flipped. Republicans outnumber Democrats in Graham County. But I told him, I never compromised my standards. I never compromised my core beliefs. I never supported abortion. I never supported deficit spending and the National Democratic Platform. I've never done that. And I said, I was amazed that a lot of Democrats who voted for me only cared if there was a D next to my name on the ballot. Well, I took advantage of that. But I will say this again. I was probably the most conservative Democrat in America. I don't care about party. Neither party has saved our country. Neither party has served our country. Neither party has made any effort to restore our Constitution or to stop the problem at the border or deficit spending or the national debt. Now, every voter right now is $235,000 in debt. Every voter, $235,000 in debt from this ridiculous, corrupt, evil government, evil people in Washington, D.C. that think that literally celebrate when they spend money we do not have. And so back to this whole border problem. So two of the biggest, well, Santa Cruz is a very small county. Cochise County, right next to Santa Cruz County, which is Hathaway, says exactly the opposite. Sheriff Daniels believes that it's the worst problem in America, that it's driving his law enforcement resources bankrupt, that it's driving his workers to death in having to deal with all this, and the death and the mayhem and the theft and the drugs that are coming into Arizona through Cochise County, both at Agua Prieta and Nogales. Of course, that's not Nogales is barely outside Cochise County, but there are several different ports and entryways. Well, the whole border of Cochise, which is about 500 miles, well, not quite 500, about 300 miles of border there is a complete sieve for illegal aliens, sexual exploitation of children, human trafficking, and all sorts of cartel business. And the cartels really run the border. The cartels call the shots at the border. And this farce of a president, Biden going down to the border today, he changed nothing, except he invited more people to come in because he just simply said, if you come here legally, we'll really open the door for you. But if you're not, then don't stay here. Don't come here. Yet they're doing nothing about anybody coming here illegally. Now, let's be real. Let me say one thing very fundamental and foundational to American liberty. I know you know this, and I know everybody else that listens to you probably knows it as well, but it bears repeating. This is the problem in America, not just our border, but the Federal Reserve, the FBI, the corruption of the FBI, and the FBI becoming now a political hit squad for politicians, and especially the president, the IRS and Federal Reserve, which I already mentioned, and all the other bureaucracies in Washington, D.C., and the careless, corrupt politicians that have made this now something none of us can depend on. Folks, I don't care how we do it, but we must do it. If we let our Constitution die, America dies. If we restore, on the other hand, if we restore our Constitution as the supreme law of the land, America will flourish, America will prosper, and America will once again have peace throughout its cities and countryside. And if we all dedicate ourselves to the Constitution and join with our sheriffs to restore the Constitution as the supreme law of the land, we will win this, and we can take liberty back tomorrow. Peace and prosperity are direct results of liberty, individual liberty and civil rights. We are no longer respecting either one of those, liberty or civil rights, in America anymore. And if we do not turn and repent and get back to those, we will, your generation, my generation, yours and mine, Dave, we will see the end of America. And that's what we're fighting to stop.
Well, that's what I think Biden is fighting to happen. Everything he has done is to America, not for America, and no one can get it wrong this many times without it being intentional. You know, I want to say something about him flying over the border, and I actually did a commentary on YouTube about this today. Why did he fly over the border rather than go up to the border? And this was my take. I go back to Galileo when he was trying to disprove the heliocentric theory that we're the center of the galaxy and the universe. And so he invited the Catholic cardinals to come and look through the telescope to prove it. And they covered their eyes one by one as they looked through the telescope. That's why he flies at 20,000, 30,000 feet, so he can look down and say, oh, I really don't see a thing here. Looks close to me. And yeah. He accomplished nothing. I mean, it's the reinvention of the Catholic cardinal's excuse with Galileo. And then Mayorkas came out this morning. I saw him on ABC. And he said, I'm trying to think of how he said it. The border is completely closed, and any other story to the contrary is incorrect. That's a quote.
Yeah, and he's been lying about that since he was running for office. And, you know, look, Joe Biden is so entrenched in Washington, D.C. corruption that he believes that the most important thing you can do as president is lie to the American people to make everybody think you're doing a good job. And if they get the national media on his side, then they will say white is black and black is white, and everybody will believe it. But he's been spinning this five different ways to Sunday, and people are buying it because the mainstream press supporting. And it's just his entire administration has been a huge failure and a huge deception and falsehood. He is a liar. When he understands it, you know, a liar is doing it intentionally. I don't believe he has very very many cognitive skills left. He's either got Parkinson's or Alzheimer's. My father-in-law died of Alzheimer's. My father died of Parkinson's, and he acts just like him. You can see when he walks, when he was walking today, it showed him on Fox News. And I said, yep, that's the walk of my father-in-law right there. He walks different. He talks different. He can't even follow a script on a teleprompter. And folks, just let's make sure we're very clear here. What he has done at the border is not borderline treason. It is absolutely, without question, 100% treason. And yet, again, people support him because they support a party. And that's why Washington was absolutely correct. The two-party system is destroying our country. Washington predicted it, and it has been happening for about the last 75 to 100 years.
Well, feel free,
and it's really a shame.
Feel free to correct me on this, but this is the position I've taken. First of all, I've left the Republican Party, and it's not because I don't believe in the core values. I very much do. But when you have Mitch McConnell, who destroyed the campaigns of eight senatorial races for America First MAGA candidates, and he makes a deal with Schumer to drive MAGA Republicans out of the Senate, and that's a public proclamation. That's not what Dave Hodges is seeing. That's what he said. And then you've got he takes FTX money, and then you've got McCarthy, same thing, lack of support for America First, very anti-MAGA. And then you've got Ronan McDaniel, who spent money on donors by buying millions of dollars of vacations and flowers and so forth rather than support candidates. They're the reason that we didn't win, we didn't swing the balance in the Senate by eight seats. We should have had about a 30-seat advantage in the House. And they're all serving the same people that control the Democratic Party. So why, let's just go local. You know this, Sheriff. Bill Gates, the Maricopa County Chairman, and Stephen Reicher, the County Clerk and Recorder, contribute to a PAC to do away with America First candidates when they run in Arizona. Why should I give any money to an organization that works against my interests?
Well, not only that, where's the conflict of interest that the national media and local media should have gone after Richer and Gates about? It was totally accepted. I don't know if that was included in Carrie Lake's lawsuit, but it should have been. I felt like her lawyers didn't do very well.
No.
I just didn't see the passion and the drive, the fervor that should have happened against the people who got rid of Mark Fincham, Abe Hamada, and Kerry Lake. And then Masters, same thing, but all the major ones in Arizona. I don't believe that it happened that way. I don't believe that Arizonans are that stupid. That we would unite behind the Democrat socialistic agenda of Mr. Biden. That everybody in Arizona voted overwhelmingly in some cases, but in every major four races that Republicans were involved in that were leading in the polls just a few weeks before the campaign and up to the campaign. Mark Fincham was ahead, way ahead at the beginning, and then it showed him 50-50, and then it looks like he got beat by about 8% by a crook for the Secretary of State's
A person who has alleged involvement with the casinos and the cartels in California, and I've got that from the California, the new California people. Richard, the man is a crook.
He
got run out of office here in Arizona for being a crook.
Yeah, exactly.
But you know,
and he was the worst county recorder ever.
Yeah, I know.
And yet we reinforce this criminal, corrupt behavior by reelecting those people. I do not believe that all four of those people lost the election.
No, they didn't.
We've
been through this before, but when you have more votes for the Secretary of Treasury office than you do the governor's office that was hotly contested, then you know games were being played. Votes were suppressed. I mean, when you have 59% of tabulators go down in election centers in Maricopa County at the same time and they're not connected, what more proof do you need? And you know what's interesting? At the county supervisor's public comment meeting, three county workers, election workers, said, "I saw Republicans disenfranchised. Here's what I saw." And then as they talked, all you'd hear Bill Gates say, "Your 2 minutes are up."
Yeah, exactly. And there's another one, too. You've probably heard about the Brunson case that's supposed to be going before
Tell the audience about that briefly, because that's not getting any play in the media.
Well, these are four brothers, and I know one of them pretty well. I've met with him and talked to him about the case. And I pray that his case will go somewhere, but it's not going to. I mean, I would love to see the miracle happen. But just as I said, and I've said this on your show and some others, there is no judge, or at least maybe one or two on the Supreme Court. But there's no judge in Arizona, and there's no judge in Washington, D.C., at least by himself. The Supreme Court can't do it. Like, I believe Thomas and maybe Gorsuch would side with the Brunsons, saying, yes, the Congress failed to do its job relative to the 2020 federal election. And so... 2020. Yeah, 2020. And so the Brunsons are very well intentioned. They have put together a case that every congressman violated his oath of office, did not do what he was supposed to do in certifying the election, in making sure first, before you certify an election, that you make sure that it was an honest and fair election. So the Brunsons are now putting this together before the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court has acknowledged that they have the case, that they've seen the case. But there is a term that I learned when I sued the federal government, and my attorney called me and said, "I've got great news for you. The United States Supreme Court, SCOTUS, United States Supreme Court has granted you certiorari." And I said, "What does that Latin term mean?" He says, "I don't know, but it means they took your case." So when they grant certiorari, that means you're headed to the United States Supreme Court and they're going to hear it. That has not happened with the Brunson case. So many people in the freedom movement believe that the Supreme Court has already announced that they're going to take the case, that they've granted certiorari. I said, "Do you mean they granted certiorari? Show me that." They go, "What's that?" I said, "Well," and so I explained the same thing I just said. They have not granted certiorari. They're not going to grant certiorari. If they miraculously granted certiorari, it's not going to win at the Supreme Court or any other. We saw the corruption of Arizona judges. Kerry Lake lost at the Superior Court. It was appealed to the Arizona Supreme Court, and she lost at each level. I said that's going to happen. There's no judge that's going to reverse the corruption in the state of Arizona or nationally, saying that, "Oh yeah, all you right wing MAGA kooks are correct. you do deserve a day in court, and all of this should be heard before we announce the winners of any election.
Why is there the prejudice of these judges against truth and honesty?
Because they're corrupt also, and if they turn their offices against corruption, they're going to be turning it on themselves. And there's no judge that's going to have the guts, just like a judge is not going to have the guts to say, oh, yeah, the Federal Reserve is unconstitutional. Oh, yeah, the IRS is corrupt and criminal organization. Show me a judge, maybe one judge here and there, but it's extremely few. The United States Supreme Court is not going to come in and shut down the golden egg goose of the federal government, because they know they can keep the spending and the corruption going, and no judge is going to stop them, because he is supported by the same damn corruption, and he wants the golden goose laying eggs all the time, the goose laying the golden eggs all the time. They've got to keep that going because they're part of the same corrupt system, and so nobody's going to do it. Arizona came through with exactly what I said they would do. The Brunson case is not going to go anywhere because the judges are not going to have the guts. I'm predicting that Thomas will say, yeah, they blew it. Maybe Gorsuch also, but I don't believe anybody else will. They'll lose it. But it's not even going to be granted certiorari. So you heard it here first. Well, just wait and see.
No, I couldn't agree with you more. I asked attorney Tom Rentz the same question. He's poking his nose into our business in Arizona, and I mean that in a friendly manner. And he's not an attorney in Arizona, so he can be a public commentator. He has a radio show now. And what I asked Tom that same question I asked you, and he gave me an identical answer.
Yeah, it's an obvious. It's not rocket science. It's just utter corruption. And my criminal nature, my criminal background, recognizes the corruption that's going on, and there's nobody that's going to turn it around except some sheriffs and some states. And if we get 1,000 sheriffs to do it, we can take America back. And these sheriffs can actually stop every bit of the abuse and corruption of Washington, D.C. Will they have the guts and the wherewithal to do it? That still remains a question, folks, but it's the only peaceful and effective solution we have to save America.
Okay, let's start with the case at hand. You brought up Kerry Lake in Maricopa County, but you could pick any issue in any county in America, but let's stick with what we've been talking about. How could a sheriff intervene in that situation to bring justice?
Well, first he can order that every machine used in the electoral process be examined and forensically examined in a criminal investigation. He can demand that. The sheriff in Mesa County, Colorado, can defend Tina Peters, who is an upstanding, patriotic woman who has committed no crime. Yes, she's been arrested 2 or 3 times. But same, let's stick to Arizona. First of all, we have a sheriff who has already conducted a criminal investigation by the name of Leon Wilma in Yuma. He has found exactly the crimes committed as described in the movie 2000 Mules. So you would think that that would be enough for every other sheriff in the state of Arizona to follow up with an investigation that way. No other sheriff has undertaken a criminal investigation on the balloting, the voting in Arizona. Every one of them have a responsibility to guarantee the integrity of the voting structure in their county. Face it, Pima County's not going to because he's a corrupt Democrat. Maricopa County's not going to do it because he is a corrupt Democrat. But if you had the others, if Pinal County would do it, if Graham County would do it, if Cochise County would do it, and a good man also in Yavapai County, you bring in an Apache or Navajo or both of them. Bring in Coconino, a pretty decent sheriff in Greenland County and Gila County. If we would get 7 or 8 sheriffs to conduct a criminal investigation, just as Sheriff in Racine County, and Sheriff Schmeling in Wisconsin did. A citizen came to him, said there's criminal activity. He investigated, and he came back with a report that should have caused an indictment for six public officials with felonies. I've talked to Sheriff Schmeling. Sheriff Schmeling's been in our CSPOA meetings and press conference, and it's completely legit, and people are ignoring these investigations by these sheriffs. And so, but right now, if there were enough sheriffs in Arizona, even one other besides Wilmot, but nobody has. And even the ones that brag that they're a constitutional sheriff and that they want to work with True the Vote and expose the truth, even those sheriffs in Arizona have not initiated their own investigations. And so it needs to have an investigation. The information in these investigations need to be turned over to the county attorney or to the state attorney general's office. And we've had an attorney general, Berkovitz. I don't like him too awfully much, but I believe if he would have had a sheriff investigation put on his lap, he would have followed.
I agree with you on that point. He's been pretty good on the border, but not so good on other things. The
right.
I think there's two reasons why these sheriffs in Arizona and other places aren't. I'll use Arizona as the example. When Ron Gould, who I know, I was on a show years ago a few times, and I thought he was a fairly decent...
Yeah, from Mojave County.
Yeah, he's the supervisor at Mojave County, used to be in the state legislature. And when they were doing the certification vote for Mojave County, he said, under duress and for fear of being charged with a felony for not complying with Katie Hobbs' order, I have to certify this election. And then we go south to Cochise County, right on the border. You mentioned them already. They said, when the machine vote is concluded, we are going to verify through a hand vote, and here comes Katie Hobbs threatening to sue them and throw them in jail. That's why I think the other sheriffs are hesitant.
Well, they can't have anything go after them. I mean, even Barry County, Michigan, where Sheriff Darleaf has been doing an investigation for 2 years, he was way ahead of all of this. The state has threatened him, but they're idle threats. They're barking because they know damn well they can't go after a sheriff for doing an investigation. Katie Hobbs could have done nothing to these sheriffs, and still they would have been just exposing the entire system that she's a part of making corrupt. So these sheriffs, they don't have to be afraid of anybody. They know that the federal government cannot touch them. And more so if it's numerous sheriffs. But you'll notice Sheriff Wilmot had no repercussions whatsoever on his investigation. Three people have been arrested. Two of them are taking plea bargains, and I'm sure the other one will also. And it happened exactly, again, just like it happened on 2,000 Mules. And so what are the other sheriffs waiting for? You know, Wilmot had nothing happen to him whatsoever. The sheriffs are very independent. They know they're untouchable unless they actually do commit a crime. But these made-up crimes like against Tina Peters will not stand against a constitutional sheriff. And the people, the corrupt politicians in this state and across the country know it. So why are these sheriffs waiting? All I can say is there's just too many wimpy sheriffs.
What do you think? If they're not afraid of actions from the federal government, the DOJ, or their Democratic governor, what's keeping them from doing it then?
Like I say, the same reason that Hathaway tells you and me and the rest of the state that there's not a problem with the border. It's all about politics, and can I get reelected, or if I decide to run for Congress, will that help me or hurt me? Most of them are reeling because of the politics in the state, because every major Republican lost, except for Eli Crane. And he defeated a solid Democrat. So that in and of itself also shows you, how did Eli Crane win and the rest of them all lose? So I will say this. I believe it's more politics and selfishness than it is really pursuing something that would benefit the people of Arizona. And the people of Cochise County, I thought we had something really going there because the Board of Supervisors were standing strong. They did not certify the election until a few days after they were supposed to. So I thought they were going to hold out. I thought they were going to get Daniels, or Daniels just could have said, you know what, I'm conducting an investigation on this. There's too much evidence of criminal activity. You're all going to have to wait. And he could order it, and he could do it. And he's complained a lot, and I just don't know why he and other sheriffs didn't join Sheriff Leon Wilmot. Sheriff Wilmot is not really a constitutional sheriff. He's just a man. He's a good man trying to do his job. That's what we need.
Well, it's not just elections, though. It's everything. It's, well, another thing I talked to Tom Renz about, and others too, the penetration into politics in Arizona by the cartels. How aware are you of that?
Well, first of all, the tabulation being used by computers is part of all that. First of all, that's Chinese right there. And the Chinese are working with the cartel, so it looks like they've now infiltrated that too. But the Chinese are the ones that have developed the system of computerized voting, and that it can obviously be manipulated. And now they're all trying to say that these computers cannot be hacked. And Richer told me that himself personally when Randy Miller and I, our director for CSPOA in Arizona, went and took a tour of his facility. The voting center in downtown Phoenix, it was all over the news right around election time and the next 10 days, 2 weeks after that. That's what we did. We took a tour. We believe that they were really trying, except until the last question we asked him. We were there 2 hours, and I asked him, can you really tell the people of Arizona and Maricopa County that they can feel confident in their elections, and primarily because you're still using computers to tabulate votes? And he said, 100%. He said that they're more reliable than hand counting and they're quicker. And I said, so, you know, how did Florida come up with a valid election so quickly? And yet Maricopa County took 10 days, maybe 2 weeks. And we still don't know for sure if it was. And this is a fact. As long as you're using computerized tabulation on votes, you will never be able to trust the integrity of the results. Never, never, never.
I agree. There's one other thing I thought that sheriffs should be doing everywhere, where there's a conservative sheriff and they have ballot boxes, because this is largely another way that the Democrats are stealing elections,
right,
is they need to have sheriff's deputies take these places out and arrest people for illegal voting when they witness it.
Yeah, that's true. And those drop boxes should have been, one, secure. And first of all, they shouldn't have existed. There should be no early voting. There should be no drop boxes. That's where the ballot harvesting is consummated, in those drop boxes. One other thing that CSPOA has been pushing, especially in California, but other places as well, but mostly in California, we've had hundreds of people going door to door after they go and check the voting rolls, that it would show 20 people voted in this at this residence, 7 people voted at this residence, 12 people voted at this residence, on and on and on. So they went door to door to those types of numbers, and they would ask people at those residences, did 7 people really vote at this residence? Said, no, there's only 3 of us here. Same thing with the one that said, there was one that actually said 25. And so we know that that was the cheating, and we had signed affidavits from people who lived at those homes. If they didn't want to sign, if they were too scared to sign those affidavits, then those fearful homeowners at those addresses were reported as such. So it all went reported, and those were turned in to sheriffs. We've actually had three or four sheriffs that said they would follow up with it, and it doesn't appear that they are. Well, the sheriffs that we talked to, one isn't just now retiring, but she said that her new sheriff would do it. Another one said, I will follow up with this, but they're turning them over to state officials instead of following up themselves. So it's just too many wimpy sheriffs. And the sheriff that went with me to the United States Supreme Court told me about 7 or 8 years ago when I talked to him about all these problems that it's so hard to get sheriffs to listen. And that's been the biggest frustration of my CSPOA movement, because we need the people who really vote for these sheriffs. They have got to get involved. It cannot just be me and the CSPOA. It has got to be the people getting after their sheriffs to get in there and get their sheriff to wake up and get busy. And so if we the people are not involved in this process, it's not going to happen. And we have tried and tried and tried to get people to wake up, to go talk to their sheriffs. And so I pray that some of these in California, where we've been doing the most on this, this door-to-door canvassing on the election fraud, will actually pay some dividends. But even the sheriffs that do the investigations, like I've said, they get ostracized and they get ignored, and the whole thing gets just set aside. So Sheriff Wilmot has stood strong, and his investigation provided a lot of fruit. But even then, what's happening?
Yeah, I know. What's happening? What do you think it'll take to excite the public? I think the resources are out there for the public to latch onto and to start making changes, but the interest isn't there. I mean, they're listening to us, but they're not doing anything.
Let me ask you something there. So how many times have you seen these national tours for rallies? Reawaken America, Wake Up America, Restore Liberty America, all these rallies going on, and they get thousands of people to their rallies, and Trump still gets thousands of people to come and hear him. Name me one benefit of all these rallies. Name me one plan of action that has been initiated at any of these rallies.
Well, I think there's
I don't know what they're doing, but I don't see any fruit or plan of action.
I'd like to see more. Let me tell you what I do see on this. With Clay Clark's Reawaken, I mean, the guy lets people come for free. They can't afford it. He wants people in the seats so they can be educated.
General Flynn and Clay Clark are good people.
Yeah.
And I would love to work with them closer. I've been to those rallies.
Yeah.
They've had me speak a few times.
I know.
But I stopped going because I just didn't see what it was accomplishing.
There needs to be more of a translation into the community. And Charlie Kirk is on he's on the right path. He and I are kind of having a minor feud right now, because I said it's pointless to vote until we change the voting laws. And you're just giving up. No, I'm not just giving up. I'm looking at reality.
I still tell people to vote.
Yeah, I know. I hear what you're saying, but to me,
listen, I'm not against you for saying that at all.
Because how many times can I keep doing the same thing and get the same result?
Yeah.
Until we get rid of ballot boxes and voting machines, the system is rigged. It's rigged against us.
It is.
And also, too, my comments are meant to be provocative, more so than action-oriented. But let me tell you about Turning Point USA. So even though Charlie and I have that disagreement, and he's politely critical, and it's fine, but he goes on to college campuses to undo the woke liberalism that's there, and I think that's good work. He's going right to the root of the problem. What he did at University of New Mexico was very good. Then we look at another place, Richard, that they do. At this last meeting they had in Phoenix, now I wasn't able to attend, but I understand they had action groups form and people starting different interests in terms of what they're going to go after, and bringing like-minded people together. That's a start for what we need, a start.
Yeah.
But it's not enough.
Well, and we do a call to action every, you know, it's on our website, it's on every show I do, it's on this show right now. People who are listening to this, you've got to get a hold of your sheriffs. The people in outlying areas outside Pima County and Maricopa County, even go after your sheriff in those two counties. But the likelihood is they're not going to go anywhere. But sheriff in Yavapai County, if he'll hear from more people, around the entire state besides Maricopa and Pima, and still go after them too, yes. But there's other good sheriffs who are, most of these sheriffs are good people. If you put the right information in front of them, they'll do the right thing. But we must have a relationship with our sheriffs, and we must be part of the solution. And right now, I'm not seeing the solutions being focused on at these rallies.
Paul Preston,
until then,
let me tell you about Paul Preston real quick, and I think he's onto something. He's the head of the New California Movement. They've got their case going to the Supreme Court. And I'm interviewing him tomorrow on that. But what Paul has done is he has advocated for the use of affidavits to go to sheriffs signed by 100 citizens with similar complaints about whatever fraud or crime that they're interested in. And he, and this approach was responsible for the removal of a really corrupt legislator named Tommy Gong in California. Do you think the affidavit process is the way to go to approach the sheriffs?
No. I don't. They've already done it lots of times, and most of the sheriffs have thrown them away. The affidavit that tells anyone, and quite honestly, Paul Preston, I know him very well, he was supposed to be working with our CSPOA people in California on that canvassing, said he was going to do it. And for some reason, you can even ask him why, if you want, before on the air or before you talk to him, why did he stop working with us? Why did he stop taking our calls? So I don't know, but I don't know where he went. I do not question his heart being in the freedom movement. I do not believe that there's going to be another state formed out of California. I think that's a waste of time. If it were a legitimate issue that had some potential, it would be wonderful. If Texas would secede, I'll move there tomorrow. I'll go help them secede. I don't believe that's going to happen. I wish to God that it would, but there's some things that just are not working. The affidavit thing, this one guy said, the sheriff only got 50 affidavits. We're going to make it 2,000. Okay, well, then he made it 2,000. He still threw them all away. And this one notion in these affidavits to public officials that if you have 10 days to respond or you're guilty of treason or whatever else that is, these politicians still have their due process rights. They do not have to violate their right to remain silent because you tell them in an affidavit that they have to. They do not. And everyone in office, their rights are still protected in the Bill of Rights. And so those affidavits are I think, counterproductive. They have not produced any results except maybe for that one corrupt public official you're talking about. But I found a lot more going on in California. I mean, three corrupt school board members were voted out in a recall in San Francisco. If we can do that in San Francisco, and there were some others in California, I think we're really catching on. But look, we have 250 some odd constitutional sheriffs in this country. If we make that 1,000, we'll win this. We can win. I just don't see any other solution.
I don't either.
I promise I will join any peaceful, effective solution. I promise you, I will. You've got my word, Dave, and you know I won't break my word. I will join them. Look, there's other good organizations. Gun Owners of America on the Second Amendment. No compromise. We will not compromise. We will not do a piecemeal destruction of the Second Amendment like the NRA does. And they do great work. There's organizations in the state. There's people trying to restore tax integrity and get rid of the income tax and get rid of the IRS and get rid of the Federal Reserve. I totally support those groups. There's lots of groups around, but we need to coalesce and we need to get behind this one solution, and that is the constitutional sheriff. And along with his citizens standing beside him, he can stop any and every abuse. Do you know that the sheriff can actually stop random baseless audits from the IRS?
No, I didn't know that.
They can, and they will. Of course they can. And you put them on notice and say, my citizens, the citizens of my county, will have all of their rights protected by me. And that means they will not be subject to random audits. Random audits do not have any basis in law, and he protects them from them. Say they try to go get their accounts and the banks support them, then we will expose those banks as being IRS banks, and we will try to create other banks with Native American tribes and try to get and who are sovereign, who don't have to answer to the IRS because they're sovereign
okay.
nations.
Okay. Well, you know, and so let me say this before.
There's lots of ways to go.
Before we close, we have a small disagreement with Paul, because I say you explore every angle possible, and I do agree that you have to give people their right to remain silent. I absolutely agree with that. But I've seen Paul's affidavit process work, not just on Gong. He's the one I can remember, but I've seen it work in a few cases. And at least it's somebody doing something. It really is. And I will say this.
Yeah, and I don't think it's counterproductive. Yeah. I don't think it's counterproductive, but I don't believe it.
I hear what you're saying. The sheriff's approach is more direct. The other thing I would say, though, about the New California movement, if Trump were to recapture the presidency and we had both houses of the Congress, these Republicans, if they were sincere, would move against California's legislature and create a second state to negate their power. I do believe that would happen, but I think those other variables have to fall into place. Sheriff, tell us how we can support you, because I wholeheartedly support what you're doing. The sheriffs are the key.
They really are, and we have proof that it's happened lots of times, numerous times, hundreds of times. So every citizen should be coming to our website. Every American should be coming to our website, CSPOA, CISPOA, Constitutional Sheriffs Peace Officers Association. Join our posse, make a donation, and get on our webinar that's every Tuesday morning and be a part of the solution. You can right now go talk to your sheriff and ask him, are you a constitutional sheriff and will you protect our God-given rights as detailed in the Bill of Rights? Will you stand with us as we restore the Constitution? Go talk to him, be a part of him, be a part of his, and make him a part of our national movement to restore the Constitution one county at a time.
Well, I think
CSPOA.org.
I think you're definitely on the money with all this. I just want to ask you one closing question before we give out the information on how to help. What do we possibly do? Boy, here we're getting more interference, Sheriff. Interesting. Okay, it just never ends. You know, let me hold that question. I'll save it for next time. But I do appreciate the work you're doing with the sheriffs. And just out of curiosity, of the number of sheriffs in America, what percentage of penetration do you have for membership into your group?
Very little. Maybe 2, 3, 4%. Yeah. Maybe 5 at the
okay.
most.
We got to do better.
And like, yeah, there's 3,000. There's 3,086 sheriffs in America. We have about 250, so
okay.
We need to get busy.
There needs to be some networking done and maybe some citizen friendly.
We need funding. We need funding really, okay. really bad so we can spend the time and our resources to contact these sheriffs nationwide and to keep track of 3,086 sheriffs. We really have got to hire some more people and get more volunteers, and we've survived with volunteers, but sooner or later volunteers
get burned out.
Run out of time.
Yeah. Very yeah. quickly, tell us how people can support you financially.
You can make any donation at all, become a member of our posse, which has dues associated with that, and be a part of it, CSPOA.org. And we have a Supreme Court decision from the United States Supreme Court written by Justice Scalia that supports every bit of what we're doing.
Okay.
Nobody else in the country has that kind of credibility.
Well, that's refreshing to hear. Ladies and gentlemen, you heard the challenge. CSPOA, please jump on board, because outside divine intervention of a massive scale, which we're not really deserving of, this is our next best option. Sheriff, thanks for being with us. Always a pleasure.
Thanks, Dave. I'll see you
soon. Take care.